this fourth week in the season of Lent. Our gospel reading serves as the focus for the devotions this week. Gospel reading reminding us of our Lord's great feeding of the multitudes. And we have reflected in this also the giving of manna to the Old Testament Israelites found in our lesson for today. We have here now in the reading for this morning from Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, the words of Moses to the children of Israel as they were about to enter the promised land. So God humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. You may have wondered as a little child or going through possibly grade school, high school, Sunday school, VBS, why did God spend so much time in the Bible discussing the lives of the children of Israel on the great Exodus? Why were there so many books of the Bible and chapters of the Bible dedicated to this story, this 40 years of wandering? I'll have to admit, I didn't really appreciate so much about this account until I got a little bit older. Not only is this account of the wandering of the children of Israel in the desert, not only is this account an accurate historical account of what God took his people through on their way to the promised land, the very people that through whom the Messiah was to come, but it also serves to teach believers of all time, including us today, very important spiritual lessons about ourselves. And the more closely you examine the children of Israel during this time, the ups and downs for them, you start to recognize yourself, if you're honest, as a Christian. The Exodus, the story of the great Exodus out of Egypt back to the Promised Land, is for this reason served as a great, if you will, typological picture of the life of the Christian going through this world, sojourning in life. God permits the children of Israel, we're told in our text, to hunger, to have a physical hunger inside of them. And he does this to teach them a very important spiritual lesson. One commentator said, in fact, the entire wilderness journey had an educational purpose, not just for them, but also for us as well. Recently, we've again had some tragedies that have taken place in the news. It seems like every couple months or so, there's another flurry of three or four events that just remind us of how weak man is and what life is like here in this fallen world. And it's interesting to listen to people in interviews as they're watching devastation or maybe the loss of life and mourning. It's interesting to listen to people suddenly begin talking so much again about God and reaching out to the Almighty and suddenly including things about God in their discussion and in these interviews. People who possibly, quite possibly, didn't have much to say about him before. But all of a sudden, in times of tragedy and crisis, when things aren't going well, suddenly man realizes his great dependency upon God. And that's a picture of who we are, even for us as Christians. When things are going very well in our life, it's kind of easy to forget about God. Everything is going smoothly. Who needs to be concerned about him? And in this day and age when man and human beings and the intelligence of mankind has come up with so many tremendous inventions and so many new advancements that are coming out, we're just constantly looking ahead to the next medical thing that's going to come out that will help us. Maybe the new technological device that's going to benefit our lives. The more we see man's abilities rise up, there becomes kind of a temptation to put man on the altar and start to worship ourselves and to think of how great we are, and we don't really need God. And the success that we have and that we enjoy in life really is self-driven and self-motivated and self-generated. Who needs God? In addition to that, at least in our public school system, we are actually taught to kind of screen God out of anything that we consider in our lives and kind of relegate the thinking about a divine source and a divine helper into the realm of fairy tales. And we Christians can kind of fall into the same kind of thinking as well. And then suddenly things don't go right for us. And it can become a real shock to our worship of man to have to suddenly remind us again of our utter, utter dependence upon God for everything. The words of our text point this out to us so well. Man lives entirely and solely by the power that proceeds from the mouth of God, beginning in creation. Back when God himself called out, "Let there be light," and when he called out, "Let there be," in the whole week of creation, ultimately everything you and I have and possess today, even the breakfast that we ate this morning, if you ate one, all of that ultimately can be traced back to that powerful word of God. And so the sentence before us, that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, is true in both a temporal sense and also a spiritual and an eternal sense as well. Now, God demonstrated their need for him and his presence in their lives in a very unique and special way by the giving of manna. Just some things about manna that we know from Scripture. It was a flaky bread-like substance. It settled like frost or dew every morning. And people would go out and they would gather it up. And it would satisfy their dietary and their nutritional needs. It had a subtle sweetness to it, like a taste of honey. It would go bad after each day. And then on Friday, the batch that you would gather in for your family would last 2 days, so that you did not have to do any labor on the Sabbath, a reminder of the rest that would be coming in Christ. And God continued to supply them with this every day for 40 years. In fact, Joshua tells us that the very day that they entered the promised land is the day it stopped. Now, it became very clearly obvious to the children of Israel that whatever this was, it had to be from God. There was no other source but God for this in their lives. And this was intended to humble them and to make them realize their tremendous dependence upon God and on his word. And sometimes God has to humble us like that. I remember at a pastor's conference years ago, there was we were talking about making hospital calls, and an older pastor said, "There are more prayers offered from hospital beds than from church pews." That really stuck with me. There's a lot of truth to that. There are three great lessons that we can learn from this account today. First of all, don't become so spiritually distracted by the temporal things and issues of this life that sometimes can seem so pressing. In fact, don't be surprised if in your life as a believer, in order to keep you mindful of God and the things of his kingdom, don't be surprised if God maybe removes once in a while some of the joys in your life, some of the things that you start to depend on in your life a little bit too much, just in order to remind us of his presence. Commentator Paul Kretzmann says, "It is only when a person despairs of his own strength and is humbled from his self-presumption that he is ready to hear and obey God." Secondly, when we look to God for the lesser matters of this life, may it serve to remind us to look to him for the greater matters that pertain to our spiritual lives. May it remind us of all that he has come to accomplish for us through the incarnation of his Son, the great Messiah that the children of Israel were waiting for and that we now worship. It is that very Lord Jesus himself who went to the cross to atone for all of our sins, even our sins of materialism and pride. That very Lord Jesus who gives us his holiness and righteousness by which we can enter heaven and has given us the promise of heaven. He quoted these very words of this text to the devil in his great defense for us. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. And finally, may this lesson remind us to remember that this life is not really our final goal, our final destination. The things of this world and the things of this life are not to become our focus and our attention, and that is a constant temptation for us. The Son of God did not come down into this world to become our human flesh and to go to the cross and to rise again for us. He didn't do all of that so that you and I could just have a better life here. He did all of that to get us out of here and to get us to the home that lasts forever. I'm sure that the day that the Israelites entered the promised land, there was some tremendous celebration and joy, and to realize that their sojourning was now past and it was over. But it had all now been worth it. And you and I, when we, by God's grace, through faith in Christ, enter the true promised land of our heavenly home, we will look back on the difficult sojourn we had here in this life and all the troubles we endured and be so thankful to God for His grace and His sustenance. Our Lord Jesus says to us now on that journey, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these other things will be added to you as well. Amen. Please rise. And we pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, by your Son you fed 5,000 men in the wilderness with 5 loaves and 2 fish. We beseech you graciously to abide also with us in the fullness of your blessing. Preserve us from greed and from the cares of this life, that we may seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, and in all things perceive your fatherly goodness. Through Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.